Immigration has been part of this country's story since before its beginning. And of course, aspects of it dominate parts of the current national political debate. But there are smaller stories of immigration, millions of them, and some paint a much broader picture. HPR contributing editor Neil Milner is here with one of them this morning in his segment, The Long View. And Neil, the story starts in the former steel town of Youngstown, Ohio.
And I see it as more textured than broader, really, as the power of
That's
a single
a great
story.
Word.
Yeah. And to me, what's really fascinating about this is that it tells you things about immigration that the broader messages tend to ignore. And not saying that this story is typical, but it's a very useful one. And it involves various settings and cast of characters. It involves Youngstown, which is one of the most depressed economically cities in the country. Youngstown, Ohio is kind of the worst of the rust belts. Mm. It involves one particular immigrant who is about to be deported, whom the town turns around and supports very strongly. And we'll get to why. It involves the last place that he spent time in jail, in prison, before he was deported, that it's a prison for people who are about immigrants who are about to be deported. It's in right outside of Youngstown, Ohio. And in fact, the politicians in Youngstown, Ohio were very happy when that prison reopened and began to flourish because it creates jobs. And then a kind of silent part of the story is the bunch of immigrants who don't receive the attention that this one particular immigrant, Amir Atman Aji, receives. So that's the cast. So real quickly, the story is this. Aji is a Jordanian immigrant who comes to the country legally to the U.S. in 1979. Down the road, he gets married to an American woman. He gets his green card. Mm-hmm. Later on, he divorces her, remarries, raises a family here. He raises a family here and opens up a convenience store, which is a very common immigrant kind of thing, in an area of Youngstown that no one else would open businesses in. You can imagine what it looked like. It's tremendously successful. The town is very proud of it. 60 people work for him. So that's the good news. Then the immigration people step in and charge him with fraud that it was his first marriage was a green card marriage. His wife, his first wife, says she was forced to sign papers, not in his behalf, but that the feds made her take. Whatever case, Aji loses and fights it for a long time. And then he comes to be deported. They put him in jail while he's waiting for the couple of months. So you have a very successful business person that the town really was proud of. It showed some optimism. So what happens? The town comes out and supports him. The politicians support him. He gets deported, but he's seen as an immigrant that we were really proud of.
Local hero.
Then the article points out that, okay, but let's remember where he was. He was in an immigrant deportation prison that contains a whole lot of people like Aji who are not that well known from the town. It isn't that the town had anything against these others, but that because Adi's story is such a compelling story of economic success, that receives a lot of visibility.
Right.
The town politicians thought in terms of economic success. That's why the prison is there. Prisons create jobs for people. Low-paying jobs, but jobs. They also create a population that gets counted in the census, and that increases the size of your place and more likely to get money. So what they point out here, this is not really an article condemning the town, but what they point out here is how the story of economic success is so important for Aji. There's nothing here about anti-Muslim sentiment, about fear of terrorism. And the politicians in that town say things like, we need immigrants. But the many immigrants, including ones that were picked up in raids, that were in situations like Aji, but not the story of economic success, it's not like they're condemned. It's like they're not talked about. And as your last guest pointed out about the power of storytelling, whose story gets told becomes a very important factor.
You know, another important part of that is the idea of personalizing something
yes.
versus the idea of, oh, it's those, it's it, again, the they-ism,
yes.
the splitting off to the others. You know, Adi, we know he's one of us. That's different, but there's not that degree of empathy in the abstract.
You know what it made me think of when I read this? The stories of people in pain. Mm-hmm. If you read stuff that medical sociologists or writer of people communications, they always talk about the things that influence us most about health and illness is personal stories of people in pain, not stories about cancer rates and so on. And you notice how powerful those are. If you think of the many fundraising and crowdsourcing and whatever else, mm-hmm. kickstarting to raise money for a person with cancer. One way to react to that, and I always react this way, is to say, what a terrible medical system we have that you have to go outside yeah. to raise it. But the point is, it's a personal story that we can relate to, and it moves people forward. And of course, you have a president who knows how to do this, however much of the stories are false. He's a very good storyteller. And that's what this is, to me, was really like, that Adi becomes a person that literally the town knew. And it was a compelling story about economic success. And so you had a person really in pain here. He's back in Jordan with his wife, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Despite the local support.
He's gone. Yeah,
deportation took place.
Yeah.
You know, talking about those personal stories and the president, and it takes me forward to, I'm going to make a bold prediction in terms of next week.
You're in the right place.
Yeah. State of the Union address. We're going to have some of those personal stories. Every president does it, but you know that immigration is going to be a topic here, and there's going to be a camera shot of somebody in the crowd, and it's going to be, I'm imagining, that something related to the wall, and this is
yes.
why a wall is needed. You may also, in the Democratic response, you may also have a different story of immigration, again, with that personalized sense, but that importance of personalizing stories.
Bold prediction. Oh, for sure. I mean, this is what the president is going with now. This is an issue that polarizes the political parties more than any other issue is immigration. He's certainly going to stage something, and he's not the first one to stage it, that he's going to tell a story about whether it's about MS or, you know, the gangs in Long Island or his usual immigrant stories, and he's going to have someone in the crowd that he puts there, as all presidents do. And for sure, it's going to be like that. The real problem with storytelling as a form of political analysis, I don't mean the kind of stuff I do, the kind of stuff we all do, is that our brain is wired, it literally is, and we know this from research, to accept the power of individual stories. But an individual story is not a story that's necessarily typical.
Right.
And we use our confirmation biases to pretend as if it is. And so that becomes the story. I'm sympathetic. I'm not sympathetic, for example, to Trump's wanting to build the wall. So when I read this story about Adi, I understand the power here. But I don't want to make any general claims that this is how people, you know, that there isn't anything in here about resentment or anything like that. So it's a good example of what a story can do and what a story can't do. It gives you texture. It gives you depth. But it doesn't give you breadth.
No universal answer, but as you say, a little texture to that.
Texture. I used it twice, yes.
Neil, thanks so much for
joining us. You're welcome.
Neil Milner, retired professor of political science and contributing editor of our segment, The Long View. You can find out more on our Facebook page, The Conversation, HPR.